are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
In a sacred union of marriage, the spiritual connection between spouses serves as a cornerstone, anchoring their relationships in the shared journey of faith. Nurturing this spiritual bond not only strengthens the marital foundation, but also deepens the individual and collective relationship with God. Through prayer, worship, scripture study, and intentional spiritual practices, couples can cultivate a rich and vibrant spiritual connection that sustains them through life's joys and challenges. And we're joined on the line by Pastor Changa, who's going to be helping us understand a couple's spiritual connection. Mfundisi, good morning. How are you?
Morning, I'm very well. How are you today?
I am good, Mfundisi Swami. Thank you so much for joining us, making time to join us here.
Oh, thank you for the invitation.
Indeed. Mfundisi, before we start with our discussion, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer?
Well, that's all right. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful and grateful for the time that you've given us to eat from your word. Be with us and help us, O Lord, to understand. We pray for thy understanding spirit in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. We do pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, what is the importance of nurturing a spiritual bond between spouses? Should we even have a spiritual bond with our husbands or wives?
Oh, what a question. Should we even have the spiritual bond? Maybe to try to explain on that one, I think we just need to know what is a spiritual bond. Mm-hmm. To me, a spiritual bond refers to the level of connection that a couple shares on a spiritual level. Mm-hmm. Like this is a spiritual connection, like that kind of a connection when it comes to the issue of spiritual. And of course, it involves a deep understanding and appreciation of each other's values, beliefs, worldview, among others. This is what is called spiritual bond. Then when now we are considering on the importance of nurturing the spiritual bond, when we read from Genesis 1, verse 26, the Bible says, then God said, let us make man in our image. Maybe the phrase that I am in need of today is let us. And of course, the aspect of the image. To me, we don't have the image of God. But we are actually the image of God. Having and being the image of God are two different things. So when we are saying we are not, or we don't have the image of God, but we are the image of God, that means we are to be like God. So when God is saying, let us make man, before God, we see here before God speaking to man, he is speaking to God. Before the creation of man, God spoke to God. Meaning there is an intra-relationship or there is an intra-communication in the Godhead. So if we were created in the image of God, or if we are the image of God, what it means now, it means we are social beings. Mm-hmm. And us being social beings, the social being part, it is first seen in the intra-Godhead before it is extended to the human or to the to Adam and Eve. So if it was in the Godhead before it was extended to Adam and Eve, what it means now, being social is actually something that is spiritual and of importance in our life. What am I saying? There is supposed to be an intra-communication, an intra-social relationship between spouses before they can actually be able to talk to others. For them to be able to communicate to others, what I believe and what I see from this verse, let us, God speaking to God, is that God being able to communicate to Adam and Eve, but he had already a good communication in the Godhead. So for spouses to be able to communicate with others, there is need of them having a good proper communication or something that is nurtured within their relationship or that spiritual bond that is between them. Because maybe let me just say this. We also see before Adam saw Eve, he saw God. And when God created Eve, there was no Adam. Mm-hmm. And when God created Adam, there was no Eve. There was no Eve as well. So there is need of Adam to have a connection with God. So and Eve here having a connection with God, so that they will be able to join together, just like fire. If Adam is having a fire of love, because God is love, remember, and when we are having Eve having a fire of love, that fire joined together, it will produce a good bigger fire.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I see as the importance of having a connection there.
Mm-hmm. So when we are having that big fire, Mfundisi, that, you know, that connection there, how do couples now cultivate a shared spiritual life? You know, because we can have the fire, but hey, the fire, someone is putting gasoline, someone is putting petrol, someone is putting diesel. We are not putting the same thing, you know. So how do we now cultivate a shared spiritual life as a couple?
Okay. Thank you. To me, there are many ways of cultivating that shared spiritual life, bonding, going on and on. But maybe let's try to read Ephesians 5 verse 28, so that we get one or two from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 5. I'm reading from NIV, Ephesians 5, verse 28. It reads, in this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they fed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Just like what we said earlier on, Adam saw God before he saw Eve, and Eve saw God before she saw Adam. So for spouses now to cultivate, or for couples to cultivate a spiritual shared life, there is a need of them praying together to show that they do love each other. I remember this other time I visited this church where they had a prayer meeting. To my amazement, back then in the days, to my amazement, I overheard a pathfinder praying for me. This pathfinder, he was praying for me to say, "Oh God, bless Brother Matthew as he works for you." And to me, it was something that was too much to say. Oh, so this pathfinder just thought of praying for me to say, "Oh Lord, remember Brother Matthew as he is working for you." So to me, it was like in a fuel to say, I think I need to continue working for the Lord. So just imagine now your own spouse praying for you in your hearing. How sweet is it? And even in your spouse mentioning your challenges and even your success, you get that form of belonging, or that sense of being loved. And also a spiritual bond is formed, because you feel like, so this person or this partner of mine, she does or he does know me, and he does understand me, and he or she is even praying for me. So there is kind of a connection that is built between the two of you. Therefore, there is that cultivation of spiritual life. Then there is also like what they do call intentional prayers. But intentional prayers is like you plan the two of you to say, sweetheart, may you kindly have maybe some time to pray together, or maybe you give us yourself an hour or a day, or you can say maybe half night of prayer is a couple to say, let's pray together. Just imagine that aspect. I have listened to soccer fans like those ones who support Manchester United. you know what? What gives them a common ground? Is my Manchester United fans. I know Manchester United, they are facing some challenges these days. However, what gives them a common ground is them supporting Man U. Is them supporting Man U. So for us as well as Christians and also as spouses, what gives us a common ground should be our spiritual aspect. So they will have time to discuss about this one. You disappointed us on that one and that one and that one. So for us as well, we are to discuss about our spiritual journey. That's prayer now. I'm also combining with the aspect of worship.
Yes.
Many do believe that in terms of worshiping together, it's nothing much. It's nothing much, but it is of importance. I remember this other time, when I got to this church, I met a widow. So this widow said to me, "Pastor, you know what? Whenever I see Mr. and Mrs. X coming to church together, I'm reminded of the good days with my husband." So this to me communicated that they are coming together, gave them a bond, like a good bond. What is making this widow remember her husband? It is because of the good bond that was developed by them coming together to church. So by the two just coming together to church, it actually gives them a good bond. And do remember, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 5, actually says, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing."
Yes.
So us, by knowing that for sure we will die, and even Job says that our days are so, we don't have much time together. So us not having much time, we are to have time together, worshiping together, praying together, and even having intentional worshiping services or intentional praying sessions together, so that we have that closeness, that bond creation. We are different from those guys who do go to beer halls and so forth.
Yes.
I'm a man of stories. I'm sorry. So there is this story as well. So there was a drunkard. This drunkard, he had no time with his family. Him not having time with his family, the family had some difficulties and challenge to say, how will we find time with our father? And the wife would say, with my husband. Then it did happen for the fortunate part that the husband did receive Christ and read a book, the book Great Controversy, and when he read all those history of the Waldenses, the Dark Ages, the Dark Era, all those things, like, I think I need to join this church that is called Great Controversy. And he was able later on to know what the Great Controversy church is. And he joined the Adventist family. So thereafter, it did happen that this other day, he just said to his family, "Family, today we just need to pray as a family." And like it came as a big blow to the family to say, is Dad saying this in his time with us? We have been longing for this. So when the father started to lead the prayer session, everyone was happy and he was into it. Why? Because there was a bond creation in that prayer session or that worshiping service. So by us worshiping together, we'll be cultivating and even sharing our Bible knowledge. Just imagine the wife there sharing what he knows about the state of the debt, and then the father is there. That kind of a combination, it actually builds a strong bond while it's cultivating the bond that have been created from the word go. When Adam said to Eve, "I love you," and Eve responded that "I love you too." So that kind of a bond, as it is cultivated, it will definitely grow and grow and grow.
Dear menu fans, we are sorry, we're not making fun of him. This was just making an example, you know. He's not hinting at anything, menu fans, ne? So Mfundisi is going, you know, when we're looking at the Bible, you know, which couple can we say they had a strong spiritual bond, and what lessons can we learn from that particular couple when we are studying the Bible?
Oh, thank you. Maybe let me just reference to my best couple in the Bible. My best couple in the Bible is the one of Zachariah, or some say Zacchaeus, and Elizabeth. That we are in Luke. That's Luke 1. That's Luke 1, verse 5. Let me just read in your hearing, Luke 1, verse 5. Luke 1, verse 5. I'm reading from the NIV,
yes.
Like I said earlier on. Luke 1, verse 5 and 6. We are given a good example of a good couple there. It reads as follows, verse 5. Luke 1, verse 5. Right. I think I'm there. Verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. Verse 7, but they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. I'm seeing something here. The Bible is crystal clear to mention that these two, they were righteous.
Okay.
They are childless challenge. Do you hear me on that one? On their childless challenge, both were righteous. So I'm actually challenged to say, even when we are facing a challenge as a couple, we ought to be righteous, or we are expected to be righteous. And the Bible even say they were actually in their old, both were very old, like in their old ages. Or I usually like the term Vespers age, to say they were almost going to the grave. So by them being righteous in their old age, what it means, they had this challenge for years and years, but having that challenge, they were both righteous. So we are expected to be righteous even when we are facing challenges in our marriage. Remember the aspect of praying together. I like the spouse mentioning the challenges and the successes his or her spouse is having in life. That kind of a thing, it does help by making sure that they do develop a leaning shoulder to say, we do depend on God. Whether we are in good days, whether we are in bad days, God is still God. Why? Because they do pray together, mentioning each other's challenges and burdens. Just imagine when your husband is having some challenges, maybe to secure a job, and then his wife finds time to pray for him, to say, Oh Lord, do remember my husband. He's facing this challenge. There is no job. What it communicates to the husband is, so my wife understands my situation. At least there is someone who does understand my situation. Even when everyone out there is not understanding my situation, at least I'm having my wife by my side. I'm having the support of my wife. I'm having my wife with me in prayer. That gives strength and courage to the to the husband. Even when we also consider the issue of Enoch, the marriage of Enoch. Enoch was married. That's Genesis 5. Thereabout. I won't read this one. Enoch now. We read in the book of Hebrews 11, verse 5, for before he was translated, he had a testimony that he pleased God. To me, he had a testimony before, not after his death. Meaning, the wife to Enoch will testify to say, this husband of mine is a Christian. In other words, we need to have that aspect of appreciating the good things that are done with our spouses so that they will see at least I'm having someone who is actually watering my success, who is watering for, because we are there for each other when we are in a marriage. So in a marriage, we need to water each other. That's cultivating. So I see these kind of things in a number of issues. Talk of Ruth. She actually said, I won't return. I will stay here even after the death. Meaning, her husband had left a good legacy for her. In other words, we are to leave a legacy. So my question as I'm leaving is, what legacy will I leave to my wife? When I'm gone, what will I be remembered of with my wife? And then thereafter with my kids, what will they remember me of? In other words, we have to live so that we will be remembered.
True.
I think it's very good to be remembered of you being good, being testified of good things, not bad things. That's my submission.
Indeed. So, for this one, as we wrap it up, Nim, I know we are often taught about not being equally yoked with non-believers or unbelievers, but how do couples now navigate differences in spiritual beliefs, practices, and their level of faith, and how do they find unity and harmony, you know, in their spiritual journey together? Because upon this one, we do have people that got married, neither of the people were Christians, and then now one has found the light. Or we have found that people got married, but they were belonging to different denominations, because life is life, Mfundisi. We can't run away from that, you know. So, but now here we are. Now things are a bit different, where, for example, this one wants to worship on Sabbath, this one wants to worship on Sunday, or this one believes in using water, soil, salt, and while this one does not believe on that, but they do. The center is still Christ. You know, they all saying Jesus is Lord. So how do they now work around that?
Okay. Maybe let me start by mentioning that the teaching will remain the teaching.
Mm-hmm.
For those, maybe we are having youths who joined us. I advise them by the word of the Lord that they do recognize the teaching, that they are not supposed to be unequally yoked. And then now, coming back on our issue, which is on the table, when we read the book of Romans 10 verse 17, it's supposed to be verse 17, it actually says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's very, very difficult for one to know without hearing. And it actually went on to say, how will I hear without a preacher? So in other words, these two, one has been given a ground to show or to teach. And everything is supposed to be done in love, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the same aspect, I will read 1 Corinthians. I will go with 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. I think this one will help us on that one. 1 Corinthians 7. We'll take it from verse 10. Verse 10 reads, or 1 Corinthians, to the married I give this command, not I, but the Lord. A wife must not separate from her husband. And then this is verse 10. So in terms, when it comes to divorce issues, it is not what God wants us to do. So that's my first point there.
Mm-hmm.
And then verse 13, I'll go for verse 13. Verse 13 reads, And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer, and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife. In other words, he has been given a privilege to know about God through the wife.
Mm.
In other words, the wife is being used as an instrument here, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband, vice versa now. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. In other words, these kids are receiving good teachings because there is a believer in the house. I have heard many believers or many Adventists saying, you know what, I've been an Adventist for so and so many years. I've been in this church to an extent that if my relatives now know that I don't cook on the Sabbath, they know that I don't go for those ceremonies, like those other ceremonies, like in Shona we call them Nyarazo. Manyarazo, and so on. We don't go for those. They now know that I do. I'm a believer. I'm an Adventist. But my question to them is that enough for them just to know and not joining you? In other words, what am I saying? They're supposed to appreciate your Adventist. So when they appreciate your Adventist, they would definitely join. In other words, they're supposed to be attracted by the way of life that you live. By them not being attractive, it means there is something wrong with you. In other words, when one is a believer and one is not a believer, the wife, if she is a believer, she is supposed to live a life of a believer so that the husband will see the goodness of the Lord through his wife, and vice versa as well. If the husband is a believer and the wife not a believer, what it means, the husband ought to live an exemplary life or an attractive life to his wife, so that the wife will be attracted to the God that is worshipped by the husband. And also, maybe let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying this. If the husband doesn't believe in the Sabbath, the wife was to cook for the husband on Sabbath so that the husband will eat his best meal, warm, hot meal on Sabbath, so that the husband later on will say, my life is doing good for me. So she's preparing her food for the Sabbath, and then she's also remembering that I don't believe, I'm not having the same belief with her. Then later after, the husband will slowly will later on realize and get to get that, I think my husband is doing justice. And also, and there is also a need of us communicating. Communication is actually key in marriage. Communication is actually the best line when it comes to marriage. When we do communicate in marriage before, not in the event, we are not to communicate like we are already throwing our swords, and then you say you don't believe in them. Communicate prior to us throwing our stones, as we are saying we are praying. So when we communicate before, our beloved will know, and if he or she doesn't respect for that moment, give it time. Time will come, and everything is time. And someone says, time answereth it all.
Yeah. Indeed. Mpundisi, thank you for that one. I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us as we wrap up, so that, you know, we may have the spiritual bonds, or we may have good bonds with our husbands and wives.
That's all right. So let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful, O Lord, for the time that you have given us to read and to listen from the deeper meaning of your word. How we pray, O Lord, this morning that you help each one of us, that we develop a strong and deeper bond with our spouses. Oh, help us, O Lord, to have time with our spouses, time to pray, time to worship, time to even eat together, time to have intentional time to pray together, even intentional spiritual lessons together, so that we know the deeper and deeper meaning. Oh Lord, help us to live an exemplary life, so that the end, when you say it is done, all of us will be found written in the book of life. Be with us, attend to each and every one of us. We might be facing different challenges, but how we pray all of this morning, that you meet each and one of us in our different points of our needs. This is our humble prayer in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. We do pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mpundisi, thank you so much. May you have yourself a blessed day and a blessed Sabbath.
Thank you. Same applies.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.